The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVB.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Boren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Boren, Fox 6 Sports. He's got a better memory than me. So then when he talks about the Miz, or as I call him, Smoke, I'm sure he can put it in perspective of other great starts. TVV, Fox 6 Sports, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, Hall of Fame wingman. He's won other awards, but he won't tell us about them. TVV, say whatever you want about the Miz compared to your memory. I think it was the greatest crowd ever for a Wednesday afternoon game, other than maybe a playoff or something. But I just don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, electric in there for sure. I know you were there, Homer. I was there. Very cool. I hadn't compared it to other Wednesday afternoon games, but you might be right. I don't know what else would stack up with it. What I love about baseball is that this was kind of an organic growth type crowd, right? I don't know. What would the number have been ordinarily for this Wednesday afternoon
18,000.
It was a voucher game. You know what I mean? Your Quick Trips or your Metro Market, Pick and Save, whatever. This is one of the games you're eligible to get because it's Wednesday. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Greatest deal ever.
Right. And then all of a sudden, my gosh, I'm cashing in my voucher
and
for this one.
And we got free custard.
It is the greatest matchup.
We got free custard because they have a program where if they get one strikeout in this inning, you get free custard. You get free custard from Culver's. I thought that's the easiest free scoop in the history of the world. They got 50,000 people going to Culver's.
Scoopy will be happy about it. Yeah, yeah. Biggest crowd of the year for the Brewers, and it's essentially again an organic growth to get that kind of number there today. I thought it was awesome. Great environment. Mizorowski lived up to the hype in my mind. You know, he wasn't, you know, absolutely eye-popping, but he beat Paul Skeens straight across the board. And you know what? The Brewers are a legit baseball team.
Yeah, especially with him, if he's that good.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. He can anchor your starting rotation. He's giving you five innings, and he just doesn't allow hits. I'm curious, like anyone else, what it'll be like if people do get on against him, try to run against him, create some action on the base pass. He hasn't had to deal with much of that at all. But, you know, Brewers get ahead. He keeps them ahead. What a great storyline written this afternoon.
And they could win more games when their offense struggles, which is clearly an issue from time to time.
But there was an issue today. They had one inning. They didn't do anything outside of one inning, but it was enough. And they have enough pitching depth now. That, you know, guys are not going to get a pass. I mean, Mizorowski gets a bad outing or two, okay, he's going to come back. But, you know, some of these other guys, it's not your birthright that you're going to be in the Brewers rotation or even on the roster, if you ask Aaron Civale. So, it's a blossoming situation for the Brewers. And because of that pitching depth, headlined by Mizorowski and Freddy Peralta, who's unbeaten at home this year, you have guys that you can really count on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, and Peralta's no longer the number one. I mean, there's no guarantee when a pitcher's this young that it's going to continue. But right now, it's not close who's better, right?
I would agree with you. Peralta was an outstanding number three a couple of years ago when you had Woodruff in his group and
right.
Corbin Burns, right? If you got Freddy Peralta at three, great. He's having what Pat Murphy calls his best season yet. So if Freddy Peralta's at two and Jacob Mizorowski is one, as you said, he has to sustain this, that'll shake up a lot of teams going into a playoff series.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't want to. If this kid stays this good or close to it, you don't want to play the Brewers.
No.
Because that's when pitching becomes even more important. But, all right, were you around when Gooden first pitched or – I'm trying to think of the last time when you just said, I got to go to the game to see this pitcher. My memory's so bad. Gooden comes to mind.
Strasburg, Steven Strasburg, when he was coming up, remember that?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, the hype on that. Locally, some of the names were big at the time and they were such, characters of hope more than anything else. Oh, Nick Neugebauer or whatever it might be. I still equate the CC Sabathia Brewer debut a little bit to this, just because it was, oh my gosh, he's on the Brewers. What's he going to have to offer? And then the way he got going for the team when he came over in that trade.
Yeah, there's no way to overstate. I mean, he was basically unhittable. And that was a good Brewers team.
Baseball, you know, you see it coming. That's what's so different about baseball is that, okay, he, you know, pitching probable, he's going that day. That's what you point toward. You can go to a football game, you don't know what you're going to get. You can go to a basketball game, hey, Giannis scores X number that night. Well, maybe Giannis doesn't play the next night, whatever it might be. Baseball, that it's just a different build with that sport. I think any sports fan knows that. But the way it kind of captures the imagination, people have been talking about this pitching matchup since it was aligned the other night when the Brewers had the rain out, and all of a sudden it sets up its Mizorowski and Skeens, and people start talking, and then it goes like wildfire.
Can you compare it to anything? The interest? I mean, I just, because of Marquette, I think of Dwayne Wade, but I don't, you know, to where everybody just wanted to be there.
Right. I would compare it, I guess, to a series, like a playoff series, like the Bucks.
But I mean, like when Ryan Braun came, or I thought Prince Fielder was huge, but I can't. No,
I remember Corey Hart. You know, Corey Hart comes up and he hits a foul home run, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, yeah, he struck out, but hit that foul home run." I mean, that's where the interest was on some of these guys. You know what I mean? So this is. Because it's now three starts, I think this is going to be hard to top the way Mizorowski's going. Other guys, and I didn't realize how many guys actually had pretty good debuts for the Brewers until they started putting out some of those numbers. But then did they do it for three starts? No. And Mizorowski has.
All right. Enough. Every game that he pitches, I want him to release his expected start for the rest of the season. Doesn't mean they have to. Just give me the dates. And granted, they should change. And if anybody has a problem with a limited pitch count, talk to them, because I'll be mean. Tell TVV, tell them this is just normal, and even more normal for today's baseball. I mean, the biggest fear of every pitcher, and it's the fear of him, but that when are they going to have Tommy John, or when are they going to have an injury? Right?
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the percentage, but you hear people be like, well, I'm glad he's already had the injury. And that's the biggest fear for every pitcher, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, even Shohei Ohtani, you know, has been on the pitching shelf.
Right. Great
example. He's a two-way player, so he hasn't dropped away from the radar, dropped off the radar. But he's been on the pitching shelf, and he's a guy, I think, you know, looks like an absolutely supreme athlete, great physical condition. You know, has the mechanics down on everything he does. He's had the problem. So there's no question you're exactly right. And the timing of all that stuff, it just alters the way you watch these pitchers develop and grow.
I don't know anything about him. Have you interviewed him? What do you have any comment on the Miz?
You know, today he went to the podium, so we didn't talk to him one-on-one today at the podium. I did chat with him a little bit yesterday in the dugout. I was out there yesterday. That was one of those.
He looks 17. Does he look 17 up close?
You know what? He looks young.
Does he shave?
He's so slender. He's so slender. He got kind of a wispy facial hair thing going.
All right, yeah.
Not a lot there. But, you know, pretty. Yeah, I like talking to Grant Anderson today. Grant Anderson, you know, middle reliever.
Sure.
He's come on nicely throughout the front end of the season. But his locker's right next to Mizorowski. I said, who is this guy? And he said, you know what? He's happy to be here. He's appreciative of being here. He feels like he belongs here. And he's a very driven young man. I thought, you know, if that sums him up, that's pretty good.
What is, he's a driven young man. I need the translation on that. Like, he wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know, but if that's your takeaway from a baseball teammate who's sitting in the locker next to you, I think that's a good, that's a compliment.
Right. Well, yeah, because he's not like happy to be there, like he's out of, you know, like his ego is crazy because of what's going on. He's a driven young man, which would tell me he wants more than what he's had for three games, right? Is that my translation?
That's the natural takeaway from that.
Anything you want to add about tonight's NBA draft?
I don't need two nights. That's what I'll say.
What?
I don't need two nights of an NBA draft.
Nice! A little John Anderson salt from Tim Van Voren. Nicely done. And, yes, driven young man. I know in a week you'll have a further explanation on that for the Miz. Thanks.
See you, Homer.
TVV, Fox 6 Sports. Draft in a half hour. Next half hour, will they talk about the Miz? Or as I call it, smoke!